The enemy is trying to entangle you in bondage. Whether it's bondage of your mind, whether it's bondage of your spirit, whether it's bondage of your finances, whether it's bondage of your relationship, there is a bondage that the enemy is trying to put you under. Somebody say amen this morning. But verse 31 in Galatians 4, chapter 4, it says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." We are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Think about it. We are free. Bondage means slavery. When you go into Galatians 4 and 31, Paul is telling us this morning in verses 21 to 31, Paul is using an example of Abraham, Isaac, Hagar, and Ishmael. And he's saying that when Hagar had Ishmael, it was of the flesh. He was born of a bond servant. His mother was a slave. Amen? So that meant that anything after Ishmael was a relative of a bond servant. But Isaac, born to Sarah. Sarah was free. She was a free woman. Amen? So Isaac, born to Sarah, was free. That meant his descendants are free. Now, wait a minute. Are we descendants of Ishmael or of Isaac? Amen. Because God promised Abraham. How many descendants? How many descendants? We are descendants of Abraham. We are free. So Paul is saying we are not children of the bond servant. We are children of the free woman. Amen? This morning, we are acting like we are children of the bond slave, servant. And that's just what the enemy wants us to think of us as. But we are not. We are free. Amen? When you are free, you can do what you have freedom to do. But if you're a slave, somebody tells you when you go to sleep. Somebody tells you when you get up. Somebody tells you to do something that you might not want to do. Somebody has you in shackles. Sin has people in shackles. The Bible tells me that sin is a master. And sin has us in slavery. And if you are in sin, you are in slavery to sin. Hallelujah. Because sin tells you what to do. Whatever that bondage of sin that's got you is the thing that tells you what to do. And you say, "No, Pastor, I'm not a slave to sin." Yes, you are. If you're not free through Christ, you are a bond servant to sin. You do what you don't want to do. And when somebody says, "Why did you do it?" you can't even explain to them why you did it. You did it because your flesh did it. And we cannot control the flesh. God, through Jesus Christ, we can control the flesh. Amen? So when you get into Galatians 4:21, it starts with this statement. Paul says, "Tell me." That two words right there, "tell me." Tell me, you want to be under the law, or you are not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. I want you to know this morning on Mount Sinai, that's where the law was given. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, O barren woman, who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud. You have no labor pains. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers like Isaac, are children of promise. At this time, the son was born in the ordinary way, persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now, but what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." So he starts with, "Tell me." That question prompts us and it sharpens our knowledge to know exactly where you're coming from. Paul is talking to the Galatians and he says, "Tell me, do you want to be under the law or you want to be free?" Now we use "tell me" just like Paul did. I always go back to parents and children. And when your children do something and you catch them, you look at them and say, "Now tell me exactly what you're doing or what you think that you were doing." You get caught in the store stealing. The owner walks up to you and says, "Tell me what you think that you're doing." In your relationship, you get ready to do something you got no business doing. Your wife or your husband saying, "Now tell me exactly what you think's going on here. Tell me exactly what you're doing." Paul says to the Galatian, "Tell me," because he wanted to know exactly what are you thinking. Amen? It is a pointed question. But it is written that the two sons were the most prominent. Amen? You see, because Abraham had other sons. He had other children, but these two were the ones that made the illustration for Paul to say, "Hey, do you want to be under the law or do you want to be under grace?" Hallelujah. Because Paul is saying, "Tell me what your rationale is." Amen. The enemy, he likes to put a false rationale on you. You see, when the enemy tells you, "Tell me," he can give you the excuse that you can use that you think is going to get you over. I said he will give you an excuse that you believe that is going to get you over, but it is not going to get you over. Amen? The two sons, the Bible says one was born in the flesh, although both of them were born in the flesh. One was really born in the flesh. When I say the flesh, Sarah said, "I can't have no children. So here, Abraham, I know you want a seed. Take Hagar." And in his flesh, he conceived that child. But God had made a promise to him that he would have children. So one was born out of the flesh, and one was born out of the promise. Isaac was born out of the promise. So what Paul is trying to tell us too, that when we are born, of the woman that's not the bond servant, that we are born with a promise. When you turn your life over to God, when you submit your will to Jesus Christ, you are born again. But you are born again with a promise. Amen? The enemy, though, he makes some promises, but he can't keep those promises. Amen? But I know a God who's never lied, and he don't make a promise that he can't keep. Amen? So I don't know who you want to put your money on, somebody who can't keep a promise or somebody who can only keep a promise. Amen? The scripture says, for it is written. The apostle proves by quoting Isaiah that the lawful sons of the church, and we are lawful sons and daughters of the church, that we are promised with the covenant of the gospel. Amen? Let me tell you one of the promises that he made to me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise he made to me. Let me tell you another promise he made to me. He promised me that no matter what it is that I did, his grace is sufficient. I don't know if that means anything to you, but to me, it means a whole world to me. His grace is sufficient. That means that no matter what I go through, his grace is sufficient. I might feel a little down this morning, a little not way up there, but his grace is sufficient. Amen. I don't going to have to pop no pills. I don't have to have anything to drink because his grace is sufficient. I don't have to go look for pleasures outside because his grace is sufficient. I don't have to be outside of myself because his grace is sufficient. The scripture said that Isaac was born by the power of the Spirit. When you are born again, you are born again by the power of the Spirit. You see, Nicodemus went and said, how can a person be born again? How can a person go back into the mother's womb? And Christ says, no, 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 that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being born again through the Spirit. Through the power of the Spirit, we're born again. And when you're born again in the power of the Spirit, the promises that God has made, they belong to you. They belong to me. They belong to you. There is nothing that God has promised me that he's not going to give to you. There's nothing that God has promised you that he's not going to give to me. He don't segregate between black and white, woman and man, cultures. He don't do that. Whatever he promised you, he promised to me as a child of the promise. Isaac was born by God's power. Isaac was born by the power of the scripture. Isaac came into the world because Abraham represents faith. Abraham represents faith. He believed that he would have a child, no matter how bleak it looked. He believed the word of God, no matter how people looked at him and said, it's impossible for you to have a seed that can bring forth or bear fruit. But he believed God had told him and made him a promise, so he had the faith. Abraham represents faith. And Sarah, she represents grace. She didn't know whether or not that she would have a child, but God said, my grace is sufficient. His grace was sufficient for Sarah to have that baby. When physical, bodily, human characteristics say, no, you're too old to have a baby. But by grace, because his grace was sufficient for her, she could have that. And not only have that, but have more than that. Somebody say, amen. We are born again by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast." Oh, that means to me, you could walk around here boasting about what you got, what you have, but you got it by God's grace. So when you boast to me, you're talking to the wall, because I know it's got nothing to do with you. It has to do with the gift that God has given you. Amen? Sometimes we look at people who boast and do all kind of things like that, and we shy away from them, and we don't want to talk to them. Let them talk. Talk don't mean nothing. For you and I, we know by the grace of God, it's a gift that they got. Isaac was born of the power of God. Amen. Isaac means laughter. He brought joy to his parents. Amen. We're sons of Isaac. Abraham, okay. God brings us laughter. God brings us joy. God doesn't want us to be walking around moping with our head down. Salvation is an experience that brings you joy. I know Jesus Christ didn't do this. He didn't die on the cross for us to be walking around mad and upset all the time. He didn't die on the cross for us to have a problem all the time. He died to bring us joy, unspeakable, unspeakable joy. When you see a Christian, they say, "I'm a Christian," and they look like a sourpuss. Ask them, "Well, who is your God? Who is your Christ? Are you saved by grace? Do you have the grace of God in your life? Do you know that his grace is sufficient for you in anything that you do?" Salvation is an experience that brings us joy. Not only that, the scripture says the child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. That means to say that when we are saved by grace, salvation is not just the beginning. It's the beginning. It's not just the end. I'm getting a little mixed up. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Salvation is the beginning of a brand new life. It should be a brand new you. If you come in here and you're still the same old person after you receive salvation, then you need to seek some more salvation, because you ain't got it right yet. You got a hint of it, but you ain't got it right yet, because salvation is a brand new you. And you know what? After we are born again, all babies grow. Somebody say amen. We're new babies in Christ. All babies grow. Peter says that we must grow like newborn babies, crave with pure spiritual milk, so that by it we may grow in our salvation. That tells me that salvation is not a one-time deal. It's not I did it and now I got it. No, you don't. And the scripture is telling me so we can grow in salvation. You know, it didn't make sense for my mother to buy me a size 12 shoe when I was 4 years old, thinking that I'm going to wear it. I had to grow into them. Hallelujah. When you come to Christ, he don't give you a size 12 shoe. He gives you a little baby shoe. And after you get a little bit more, he takes that shoe off of you and he gives you a bigger one, because you're growing in salvation. Somebody understand what I'm talking about this morning, that we have to grow in salvation. Too many people come in and they get salvation and they think that that's it, and they get stagnant, and you want to blame the church and you want to bring salvation. You want to blame Christ. He said, no, this is an ongoing process. You got to grow. I don't understand why new people is not coming to Bible study so you can grow in grace. I don't understand why people don't come and read more and understand more. I don't understand why people are not on the prayer line praying together and growing together. I just don't understand it. Do we have it? No. I'm hitting these points because I want to hit home. You're so busy worrying about who you don't want to pray with. You're so busy worrying about who you don't want to pray for. You don't want nobody to know your business. You didn't get on there to talk about your business. You got on there for prayer. We got no business. It's all his business. Because you are as sick as your secrets. And it's going to come out anyway. You think not? You think you're going to hold on to these things? You think it's not going to come out? Well, let me tell you something. When the devil finished whooping you, you're going to be running to the altar trying to get some prayer. You're going to be calling up some folks saying, could you pray for me? I don't know what time it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to be. Some people wait to their deathbed to do that. But I'm telling you this morning, don't wait. Don't wait. Nobody knows the time, so don't wait. Get it right now. You don't even know who's watching you, looking at you so you can be in a shining example of a Christian to them. Not just a Christian, but somebody who has a relationship with Christ. You don't know who's watching you. Meanwhile, you're going around talking about who you don't want to pray for and who you can't stand and all. Come on now. How are you growing in salvation? And that's the kind of communication you're sprouting out of your mouth. The scripture said, we're newborn babes. We crave pure. There's a word, pure spiritual milk. Oh, pure spiritual milk. You know, you could get all kind of milk you want. You could get 1% milk. You could get the 2% milk. You could get almond milk. You could get all kind of milk. You could get soy milk. But he said, the spiritual milk. There's no 2% spiritual milk. There's no 1% spiritual milk. There's no almond milk or called spiritual milk. It's spiritual milk. Ishmael represents the flesh. And Ishmael caused problems. Amen? Just like our old nature does. Ishmael, remember, he is born of the bond servant woman. He's born of the slave woman. Ishmael caused problems for Isaac. They tried to stay in the same house, the same vicinity, the same area, and it just didn't work out. All of a sudden, Ishmael just kept mocking Isaac, and it became very uncomfortable. Hallelujah. I want you to know that those people out there that are surrounding you right now, that are children of the slave, that are children of the bond servant, their job is to mock you. Their job is to make you uncomfortable. Their job is to make you doubt whether or not you are who you say that you are. And if you're on that 2% spiritual milk, you'll start to doubt who it is that you're supposed to be in Christ. So you sit up there, you worried about them, but it's they're doing their job. Ishmael, he didn't make no problems. Before Isaac was born, he was the perfect son. He was the perfect child. Hey, the enemy's not going to make no problems for you as long as you're doing the things he wants you to do. But when you turn and become a child of promise, all of a sudden, he's going to start causing some problems. Make no mistake about it. I understand why I'm going through certain things this morning. I understand that God is taking me to another level. Not just here, but in here. And as he continues to do that, the enemy's not happy. He is causing problems. And I rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. He got a little satisfied where I was at. But Christ has made me unsatisfied with where I was. So I've got to move on. And as I move on, he's trying to trip me up. But I rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. As you continue with your spiritual milk, it's going to make you stronger for the journey. And as the enemy tries to do things to you, God is going to lift you up. He's going to bring you to places that he told you that he was going to bring you. As a matter of fact, he's going to take you higher than that because his promise is bigger than what you can see. You don't get that yet. God's promise for you is bigger than what you can see. God's promise for you is bigger than what you can see. Some of us are sitting right here, right now, and when we go back over our lives 2 years ago, just go back 2 years ago and see what God has brought you to today. It is more than you saw back then. Amen? Because what he had in store for you, you couldn't even imagine. Even if you hoped for it, it was hope. But God brought you to a place of reality where it is right in front of your face. You could be wearing it. You could be riding in it. You could be sleeping in it. You could be working in it. You could be having it. God has brought us to places that we could not even imagine 2 years ago because we are children of the promise. Amen? So in Abraham's home, we see the same basic conflict that we all have. Hagar, the bondservant woman, versus Sarah, the free woman. Hagar represents the law, and Sarah represents grace. Ishmael represents the flesh, and Isaac represents the spirit. Amen? So every day in our conflicts, we have the law versus the grace of God. We have the flesh versus the spirit. Hallelujah. And I say, you know, I try to resist change. I try to stay the same way I am. Or am I going to release my resistance to change and be like that hot air balloon that can only go up when I let those bags go? Hallelujah. You're only going to go up when you let those bags go. God has filled your balloon up and he's ready for you to go up, but those sandbags are holding you down and you got to throw them over. Throw them overboard. Throw them overboard. Oh, you love this sandbag, but throw it overboard. This bag right here, throw it overboard. You have to let go and let God. Hallelujah. God is telling us this morning that we have to be born again and grow. We must walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's only one constant in this ever-changing world, and that's the character of our Father. Hallelujah. Everything that we go around and that we see and that happens, it's always changing. Tomorrow, I'm going to change. I don't know where the change is going to be, but there's going to be a change. Maybe there's going to be another gray hair, but that's a significant change for me. Maybe I have two less dollars in my bank account. That's a significant change for me. Maybe I walk outside and my car has a flat tire. That's a significant change for me. Whatever, something is going to change. But my Heavenly Father, my Jesus Christ that died on the cross, he's never, ever going to change. He wrote his story down. He did everything according to the script. When it was finished, his father said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." There's no more that he has to do. He's already written it in the book called the Book of Life. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever the situation, It is called the book of life for a reason, because there's nothing that's in this book that hasn't been done already. There's nothing that he hasn't gone through that we're going to go through. It is called the book of life. It is the best-selling book of all time, and it's still going to be sold for years on, many, many years after we're gone. And you know what? There won't be no more additions. There won't be any subtractions. It is what it is. Whatever you're going through, it is right here. The Bible is very clear that God works constantly to deliver us from the yoke of slavery. Hallelujah. We are under, if you're in sin, you're under the yoke of slavery. And I have told you before what the yoke is, but if you've ever seen an oxen and they have this thing around its neck and they can't move, you pull it here, it goes there. You pull it there, it goes there. You are under some yoke that is pulling you here and pulling you there. You can't even control it yourself. Because you're in the flesh. You can't control what you don't have a handle on. And you can't handle it. The oxen can't reach back and take that yoke and do what it wants. When the enemy has you under a yoke, you cannot reach back and take control of that yoke. Only God can take control of that yoke. If you're in sin, you're under the yoke. You need to break that yoke. God can break that yoke. You say, well, I don't think he can. Well, then you just don't know the God that I got. Hallelujah. When it looked bad for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, instead of three, there were four. When they threw Daniel into the den of lions, he came out the next day. When they hung Jesus Christ on the cross, they crucified him, stuck a spear in his side, made sure he was dead. He rose again that third day. He conquered death. We can conquer death. Because Jesus Christ said that what I do, you can do. What I do, I give to you. You're born again. You're a son, a daughter of the Almighty Christ, the Almighty God. You are going to conquer death because you are going to rise again just like he did. I venture to say that I have never, ever experienced anybody as given as Christ. Some people will say, I give you just as much as I give me. If it comes to the matter of death and life, they're not going to give you their life. They're not going to die for you. So take it in reality, but take it with a grain of sand when it comes to your salvation. Nobody's going to die for you, but somebody did. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Hallelujah.